If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. It's always encouraging and comforting to know that we have the Word of God that we can look to in times like these. The Lord tells us through the Word of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. For any answer to any question, any problem, any situation, you go to the Word of God. And this morning we want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord. Let me just repeat that. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf people that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I simply pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as your people, through your word, by thy Spirit. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Excuse me. It's no question that in these days we are facing challenges that probably no one here has ever faced before. We are facing challenges that go beyond just personal as individuals or as families, but we are facing challenges that are encompassing our state, our country, and even the whole world. These are challenges that, for the most of us, are unprecedented. We've never even thought of something like this or faced something like this. And yet, when you go back through history, when you go back through the pages of history, there's been challenges that have been great over the course of history. Challenges that have confronted communities. Challenges that have faced pastors in their churches as they preach and is that someone's phone that could be shut off? Challenges that have faced us as families. Challenges that have faced us as a country. Or even as a world. Challenges that confront every various aspect of life. Health challenges. Economic challenges. All these different challenges. Political challenges. And yet, if I might just make one practical observation that might be encouraging to you. You know, there's a building that stands right over there. Right as you go out the front doors, it's the original church building. Built in 1842. And this morning I was thinking, oh, if those walls could speak to us. If we could enter into that church building and those walls could speak to us of the history of this church, they would tell us of the challenges that faced the people, just like you and me, that trusted God. They would tell us of the hardships. They would tell us of the tears that were shed. They would tell us of the anxieties that came throughout the years. They would tell us of the prayers of the saints that were lifted up continually. But most of all, they would tell us of the peace of God that passeth all understanding, the love of Christ from which we cannot be separated, and the victory that we have through Jesus Christ. And they would be careful to give praise unto our God, in whom we trust. I remember one time as a young person when our family, our personal family, was faced with a challenge, and it was a financial challenge. And I can remember my dad coming home and on a Friday night and sitting at the dinner table and all of a sudden making this statement to my mom and to us as kids and telling us very quietly and yet very firmly that he had just been laid off from his job. Had held that job for many years. Now I can remember that we sat there, and as kids we immediately didn't know the severity of it, but we still wondered. And I can remember clearly my mom asking my dad, what are we going to do? And my dad said, as he always said, we're going to trust the Lord. That was on a Friday afternoon. On Monday morning, he received a call from MIT. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And they said, we got word that you got laid off. Would you be willing to come up and teach in our school? And of course, he said yes, of which I am very thankful. But that was the testimony of my dad and his faith. Later on in life, he moved to San Diego and was transferred out there and had another wonderful opportunity and job and career. And as he got older in life, he got laid off once again. And while the rest of the people at work, many of them were struggling and wondering and fearful, he asked if he could speak at a dinner they were having for all those that were retiring, got laid off. And my dad is, unlike me, he's a very few words. You would have appreciated me because he'd get out on time every time if he ever spoke. But he stood up at that banquet, and instead of being critical of those that had laid him off, he thanked them for the time that they had provided him with a job where he could take care of his family. Instead of being fearful of looking ahead, he thanked them for what they were doing to help him look ahead. But then he took a dollar bill out of his wallet and held it up. And he says, but I want you to understand one thing. He says, my faith is not in this currency. My faith is in what is written on this dollar bill. In God we trust. And I'm thankful for the testimony of my dad's faith, because it was a testimony to me as a young person and continues to be a testimony to me as an adult. But we're facing many challenges, and our lives could be changed and disrupted. Life may never be the same as it was a month ago, 2 months ago. And in fact, we don't know the reality of what's going to be in another month. There's no one that can ultimately, in reality, really predict what the future is going to be like. But I can tell you something. This right here remains the same. This right here holds true. And this right here is where we look and we live. And in Isaiah 43, it's written primarily and in context to the people of Israel. And so while we look at Isaiah 43, we understand that it was written to them in their day, but there are three truths I want to bring forth from Isaiah 43 this morning that crossed the barrier of time, if you will. As they applied to Israel, they apply to us as God's children this morning. And before we get to those three principles, I do want to assure you and remind you of the first words that are written there in Isaiah 43, when it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." You know, throughout the scripture, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, the Lord our God is reminding us not to fear, but to trust him. In Genesis chapter 15, if you turn back there for a moment, in Genesis chapter 15, and I'd encourage you in the days ahead to take your Bible, take a concordance, and just search out verses that encourage you and remind you to trust in the Lord. In Genesis 15, as Abraham did not know exactly what the Lord had for his future. By the way, we heard a wonderful message last Wednesday night on trusting God, didn't we? Right? What were those 3 points, Jared? I can trust God because he knows my future. Plan. And, yeah. Right. Those were the 3 points. God knows our future. God can use any one of us. And God will be with us. Genesis 15. Here's what God said to Abraham. Verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." He says, "I'm your shield. I'll protect you." He says, "I will take care of you." If you turned over to the Gospel of John, and I'm not going to go through every one of them this morning, but John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14 and verse number 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In Revelation chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 1, at the end of John's life, when he's on the Isle of Patmos and he sees the Lord in all his glory, the first thing the Lord said to him is, "Fear not. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things." And so when you turn back to Isaiah chapter 43, the first thing the Lord is saying to us is, "Fear not. Fear not." Because when we face challenges, whether they are individual, whether they are personal, whether they are family, whether they are financial, whether they are medical, whatever the challenge is, our first tendency as a human being is to become anxious. It's who we are. It's how we are. Our first tendency is to think of the worst case scenario of what could happen, right? May I just inject just a slight bit of humor here? There is still plenty of snack food and candy at Walmart. I checked. So life at this point is still good. But we all face challenges. And the first thing the Lord said is, fear not. Fear not. We're to live practical, as I said. We're to live prudently. But not in a state of fear. But instead of trust. And this morning, as you look at Isaiah 43, there's three things. And the first thing in learning to be a good speaker, let me give you my 3 points, because I'll probably forget them as I go along. Point number one is my connection and confidence. My connection and confidence helps me to trust and not fear. Number two, my second point is this, my comfort during challenges helps me to trust and not fear. And then thirdly, my calling as a Christian compels me to trust and not fear. But the first one is my connection and confidence. And that we find in verse number one. Look at how precious verse number one is. And here's where our confidence comes from. It comes from our connection with the Lord. That's where our confidence comes from. Why does the Lord tell us to fear not? Why does he tell us not to be troubled? In verse number one, he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. And then this statement, thou art mine. Right there says it all. He says, I have redeemed thee. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, as he was speaking of Israel, he was speaking about how he redeemed them out of the bondage of slavery. And even there, that was a picture when they put the blood upon the doorpost. And they sacrificed that lamb. That was a picture of Jesus Christ giving his life for you and me, that he might redeem us. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, it speaks to us and reminds us of how precious this redemption is. For in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, it says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. But the Lord says, I redeemed you. God says, I redeemed you with the precious blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. And that speaks to us and gives us confidence, because the redemption of our souls is precious, the psalmist says. Precious. God redeemed us with the most precious thing, his Son, Jesus Christ, his blood. But the Lord says, not only have I redeemed thee, but I have called thee by thy name. Now he's speaking here in context. He's speaking to Jacob. He says, I created thee, O Jacob. I formed thee, O Israel. But may I turn your attention to you and me as we in John chapter 1. Because as he's redeemed us, he also has called us by name. In John chapter 1, and verse number 12, but as many as received him, you might say, well, how do I receive him? You place your faith and trust in him and what he has done for you as Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In fact, 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he says, I've redeemed you with my blood. He says, I have called you my son, my child. Therefore, look at Isaiah 43 and verse 1. Therefore, thou art mine. You see, our confidence through all the challenges of life as a believer is simply this: I belong to God. Thou art mine. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of my favorite verses. I know I already said that on another verse, but pretty much every verse is a favorite. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 and catch just the just the assurance of this verse, the security of this verse. Verse number 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. Boy, I love that verse. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his. And this morning, while everything is going on around us, our God is upon his throne, and he looks down from his throne of glory, his throne of grace, and he knows more than we could ever know. He knows we are his. He says, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Just think of that one statement. Thou art mine. As a believer, as a child of God, I am his. I belong to him. He's my father. The Bible says, I am his possession. I'm bought with a price. I belong to God, the God that created everything, the God that sustains everything, the God that is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending of all things, the God that is seated upon his throne in total control. My life and everything about my life belongs to him. Therefore, following Jared's example the other night, therefore, I can trust him. Does that mean the challenges do not present themselves? No. Does that mean I will never go through any difficulties? No. Does that mean I'm exempt from everything? No. But I can have a peace that passeth all understanding, because that I know that I belong to the one that knows everything and is in total control. But it goes beyond that. Look at the second thing. Not only does my connection that I am his bring me great confidence, but as the challenges come forth, I can have comfort in something else. Verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for my life. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, as I read those verses, verse 2 through verse number 5, as I was thinking them, and in verse number 2, the first thing we see here that brings us great comfort in the midst of challenge is that the Lord has made a promise to us. He's made a promise, and every promise of God is absolutely true and sure. They are the rock upon which our life is fastened, and they will not fail. And he says, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. That's why Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 says, we don't need to be afraid. Because Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And here he makes a promise. He says, I will be with thee. He says, when? He doesn't say if you pass through the waters. He says when you pass through the waters. Because every life is filled with challenges. Every life is filled with difficulties. Something new every day. Sometimes it may seem minor and sometimes it may seem big. Sometimes it might be just for the moment. Sometimes it might be longer than that. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, no matter what, he says, I give you a promise. Every day, all along the way, I'll be with you. I will be with thee. And what a promise. What a comfort that is. What a comfort that is. I can remember one time long ago, back when I was younger, I can remember that I determined I was going to take a walk. And so I took this long, long walk out through the woods. I went down out behind the house up there in Norwich, and I just started going down through towards where State Hospital property. And I finally came out on the road. And by the time I came out to the road, I couldn't take another step. And I literally had to call Allison and wait for her to come and pick me up. I once again overdone it. And I had to call her. And then I had to wait for her to come. But you know what? You never have to wait for the Lord to come in your life. Because he says, I'll never leave you. I will be with thee. But there's also another comfort in there. Along with that promise of being with us, there's another thing that I want to bring to your attention. In verse number 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. There's another comforting truth right there, because that's a powerful truth. He says, I have loved thee, I have loved thee, I have loved thee. And we could speak much on the love of God, but this morning I want to bring your attention to Romans chapter 8 once again. In the weeks ahead, I'm just going to be focusing the messages on encouraging us to continue to trust the Lord. But in Romans chapter 8, notice we read this verse many times, this passage of Scripture, and yet sometimes we read it and it speaks to us louder, clearer than others. But Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's the question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul would write, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. They were going through great persecution at that time. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But then he says this, nay, in all these things, not only the persecution that faced him as an early church, but the distress, famine, those church walls over there could speak of how God brought people that trusted him through the Great Depression, famine. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. There's one. There's the truth that we need to hang on to this morning. That things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing present today, and there is nothing that will come tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next year that has the power to separate you and me as God's children from his love. There is nothing. There is no financial challenge. There is no earthly challenge. There is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a comfort that is. And so when you go back to Isaiah 43, we can have comfort in our challenges because he has promised he will be with us because of his love for us, that nothing can destroy. But then I came down to verse number 5, and all of a sudden I read this again. Because in verse number 2, he says, when thou passest the waters, I will be with thee. And that's a promise. He says, I love you. But then look at verse number 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. You see, the Lord says, not only do I promise that I will be with thee, he says, but be assured of this, right now, I am with you. Right now, right at this very moment in your life, he says, I am with you. I am with you. And what a comfort that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's just turn there for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Donnie's in Children's Church, so I have plenty of time this morning. And my wife as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I know that they're in Children's Church, boy, the watch just kind of goes out the window. Please don't tell her I said that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 8. Here was a challenge that Paul faced in his life, and it was a serious challenge. It affected his life. It affected his health. Challenges affect us in a very real way. And Paul prayed. He says, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And we all pray. And it's not wrong to pray that God would deliver us or God would remove this or... But here's God's answer. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And God says, my grace, and I just love the way it's put, Doesn't say my grace will be. It says my grace is sufficient for thee. And in our weakness, as we trust in God, that's when we're strong because of his grace. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Beloved brethren, listen. You can go on tomorrow. You can go on next week through the strength of the grace of Christ. And it will not fail you. Will it be challenging? Sure. Will it be difficult? Sure. Will there be moments of anxiety? Of course. But will his grace be sufficient? Absolutely. And so point number two, my comfort in the midst of challenge is his promise and his presence and his love. He says, I will be, I am with you. And he says, I love you. But that brings me down to the third point in verse number 10. And it's my calling as a Christian. Because you see, I believe that when we face challenges like this, it gives us an opportunity, an important opportunity. I've already had numerous opportunities this week to just speak to people that are without peace and without hope and begin to speak to them of the Lord. But look at verse number 10. Because here's our calling as Christians. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And the Lord says, you are my witnesses. And you know, one of the greatest opportunities we have in these days in which we live is just to be a witness, a testimony unto the Lord. Not a testimony unto or a witness to one another or a testimony to ourselves, but a testimony to the Lord. He says, because you testify of me that I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. We know the verse in Acts chapter 1. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And in a time like this, look, brethren, in a time like this, we need to be careful to be a witness unto the God in whom we trust. Let me just give you a couple of things here in regard to that. As we go forward in these days, and as we, as individuals, as believers, trust in the Lord, we need to be a witness to the Lord. A witness to the God in whom we trust. And so may I just challenge you to be careful, to make sure that you're encouraging one another in these days. Encourage one another. When you begin to talk one with another, and you fellowship one with another, encourage one another in the Lord. Remind one another of how we can trust in the Lord. Encourage. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, we're to edify one another. And this is a time where we, as beloved brethren, can edify one another, encourage one another. Share verses one with another about trusting in the Lord. Speak to one another often about how great and good God is. Encourage one another. But not only that, go beyond that and use this opportunity to minister one to another. The Bible says, by love, serve one another. Reach out to one another. I believe one of the ways that we as a church have a responsibility, we should look at not as a responsibility, but as an opportunity, is that we should really minister to our elderly folks and help them out. I forget the exact quote, but someone quoted a rabbi that said something to the effect of the loss of contact should cause us to call one another more. We're being told that we shouldn't shake hands. You know, physical contact is something that we should be careful about. Well, that should encourage us to just reach out and call one another more on the phone. Call folks, listen. Please, call our elderly folks and tell them you're praying for them. Offer to go shopping for them. Offer to do things for them. Offer to bring them bananas so I won't have to eat all the ones that Allison buys. But minister one to another. Help one another out. And not only just the elderly in our church, but in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Because the world around us is living in fear and anxiety. And through our testimony of ministering to others, boy, what a blessing we can be. I had a man just the other day, a businessman that I was on the phone with, and he just spoke to me about the anxiety in his personal life, as he didn't realize, or he realized the uncertainty of his financial future in the days ahead in his job. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be praying for you on a daily basis. And he thanked me so much for that. And so we can be an encouragement to one another. We can minister to one another. But ultimately, we have an opportunity just to share with others our faith in the Lord. Not with arrogance, but with genuineness, with sincerity, because that's what people need to hear. They need to hear there is a God in heaven in whom they can trust. They need to hear there is a Savior that not only wants to be their Savior, but wants to be their shepherd and wants to take care of them. And we have the opportunity in these days to be a visible testimony and a verbal testimony of what it says right there in verse number 11. I, even I, am in the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And so, yes, we are facing challenging days and challenging times. And yes, it's very uncertain as to what is going to take place next week or weeks ahead. But God's still in control. God is very much in control. This world is not spinning out of control. God is still upon his throne. And while we live practical, while we must be prudent, we need not fear, but be faithful because we're full of faith. And our faith is in the Lord. And our confidence is because of our connection. I am his and he is mine. Our comfort in the midst of these challenges is his promise and his presence and his love. But our calling as Christians is to be a testimony to the world around us. Our world, our country, our community needs our love, our prayer, our ministry, our faith, and our testimony more than ever before. May God get the glory through it all. Because when you look in Isaiah chapter 43, you come down to verse number 21. This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise, so that God would receive all the glory through our lives in the midst of these days as we trust in Him. Let's pray.